everybody. Welcome to Pep Talks. And we are here in our ATC studios, All Things Comedy Studios. My co-host, Steve Lolly, hurt his foot. He hurt his foot somehow. And I'll tell you, the injury bug is going around in my life like creatures near me and humans near me are going down. like flies. And yesterday I had to, very sad, me and my wife's cat, Criswell, who we've had for 17 years, we had to put down. And on the same day, my dog, Charlotte, she was running and she just came up lame. And I had to rush her to the vet yesterday before bidding Criswell a fond adieu into the ether, which, by the way, you know, it got me thinking about death. And and I'm here in the studio. I'm with my engineer, Emma. Emma, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, you know, you just heard.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty rough day.
It was a rough day. Oh, my God. You know, and I pride myself on not having rough days.
Which is, you know, that's a great thing to have. Not a lot of rough days. But then when you do have them, it makes them that much worse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I am a pleasure addict. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a comfort freak. I am addicted to, you know, softness and comfort and unyielding pleasure.
Good for you.
But, you know, life isn't like that, though. You know, you could shield yourself.
You can protect yourself as much as you want. It's still coming for you.
It's still coming for you, right? And, you know, I'm glad I don't. And hello, everybody in YouTube land. I want to say fuck you to the people who don't know me. No, I'm kidding. You know, it's always funny to me in my head that people are just stumbling in on YouTube looking at me, talking about this. It's just so funny. But, you know, you can't shield yourself from adversity. And a thing I was thinking about was, you know, we get so attached to stuff here. We get so attached to stuff here that, you know, we don't want to die. We don't want to die. And I guess that's just a natural instinct in every living thing. But man, you have to come to terms with that. And animals kind of teach you that because they don't last as long as us. Have you ever a pet that's died, Emma?
Yeah, I have. I've had four cats in my life that we've had to put down.
Oh my God, that's four for me too.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's not fun, no. Right? I mean, they're beautiful because they're just all about love and...
Well, and you bond with them. I mean, they like get you through your hard times. So when they go, it's another hard time, but they're not there this time to help you through it.
Right, right. It sucks, man. It really sucks.
Was it an old kitty?
It was. Thank goodness. You know, he was 17, so he had a good life.
That's a good long life.
He had a good life, right?
Yeah. When I was 12, we had to put my cat down, or 11. We had to put my cat Ziggy down, and he was 22.
Whoa, 22.
He was an old boy. Yeah, he was an old man.
Oh, man, that's great, though.
Yeah, 22. He's feisty.
Cats can live to that age, huh?
Yeah, they live. They can. Yeah, absolutely. It obviously depends on your cat, but they're feisty little creatures.
They're feisty and
I think it's because they don't give a fuck about anything.
You know, animals don't give a fuck about anything except their food source.
Exactly.
And they get attached to us, you know, the domesticated ones. So it's wild though. They're just pure love, and they teach us how to say goodbye and how to let go. And you know, I think if anything, I want to say to the YouTube audience, let go, you sons of bitches, because you people who come to YouTube, you think you're going to live forever, but you're not. You're not, and none of us will.
Yeah, you can't hide behind your keyboard forever.
You can't hide behind your keyboard. That is true, though, because this is really an age where I believe people really do hide from reality, you know? I really do.
100%.
They want to just, they can't, first of all, reality is a bitch, and it is particularly a bitch for people who aren't working, which is many, many people in our country, in our dying nation, and we are in a dying nation. And by the way, I don't know why this thought triggered this thought, but I do want to say that I will be in Boston. I'm going to be at Laugh Boston. Please see me at Laugh Boston, everybody. June 2nd. The subject matter will include death. But, stand-up comedy, it's about everything. You know, stand-up is about everything. It's just how you say it. It's just about how you say it. And we'll talk about death in Laugh Boston, at Laugh Boston.
I love Boston.
You do?
I lived there for 7 years.
You did?
I did.
Tell me, I've never played, well, this is a new club.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever, I didn't really do much, I never went to really any comedy clubs when I lived there.
Oh, okay.
I was in college and...
You were getting all the comedy you needed right in your dorm.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I was friends with a bunch of comedy writers, so that's,
oh, is that right?
That's all I needed, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Who were the, did they go on to be writers here in Hollywood?
One of them's a stand-up now around uh-huh. LA. His mm-hmm. name's Jordan Perry. I've never seen his stand-up, so I don't know if it's any good, but he was always very funny, so I assume it is.
Right.
And then, yeah, a couple of them are still, they're still kind of like PAs and stuff working on it, working their way through system as they do, as you do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they've hung in there and they're still doing it. That's good. That's good. Yeah, so Laugh Boston, please come see me Sunday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. So Sunday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. at Laugh Boston. It's a great club. And it should be awesome. Awesome in Laugh Boston. And so Steve is hurt. Oh, but he's calling in. He's calling in. Stevie.
Eddie.
Hey, say hello to everybody.
Hey, everybody. Who's everybody? Emma?
Yes, me.
Emma's here.
Hi, Emma.
Emma is co-hosting with me, basically, and I got to tell you, it flows very freely. I don't want you to be upset if, you know, there are some changes, and you know what happened to Wally Pipp.
Hey, guess what I'm doing right now?
What are you doing?
I'm watching Yankees highlights.
Oh, nice. Nice. So you're on. So tell us what happened to your foot. Now, that's why you're not here, right?
Yeah, I got my toe caught in a rug this morning, like as I was walking.
By the way,
By
the way, I just want to say that this, what, you know, this generation is not as tough as previous generations, because, you know, someone getting their toe caught in a rug, it wouldn't have slowed them down that much. Like, imagine if you were on the front line in World War II and you were like, Sarge, I got my toe.
You're absolutely right. It's not that severe of a thing, but I was concerned, as a precautionary situation. You know, I didn't want to get on, because, you know, I have to go on the bike, you know, to get to you. So I didn't want to go through. That's a, you know, rigorous, you know, I just thought better safe than sorry. So I just took a bunch of Advil and I'm laying here watching baseball highlights now.
So tell me what happened. So your toe got caught and then what?
My toe got caught and I felt like, mm-hmm. I felt like a tendon or something pulled in my, like I almost tripped. I was thankful I didn't trip and break my fucking neck, but
right.
I sort of caught my fall and I felt in my left foot in the inseam, you know, the inside, whatever that's called of my
foot. It's called the inside of the foot.
I felt a, like a rubber band snap or something, like a,
oh shit.
I don't know if it, yeah. And I was like, oh fuck. It didn't hurt right away. But then later on, like an hour or two later, I started feeling this weird kind of, I don't know what it is. I just figured I put up
how
my
does
fucking
it feel?
Feet. And,
so have you been walking a little bit?
A little bit.
Why don't you walk right now while you're on the phone with us and give us an update?
Okay? I'm going to check it right now.
Yeah, just check get it up right on now, your Eddie. Feet right now. And
you know, it's not too bad. I'm kind of...
Go ahead, walk around.
But I could feel it. I could feel it. Mm. Like, it's a little... Like a little twinge in my left foot. Mm-hmm.
Folks, this is why you should hit the donate button on peptalkspodcast.com. Please hit the donate button. We're going through a lot. We're going through a lot.
I may need medical assistance.
Well, yeah. Well, if it's something torn, but give it 24 hours, you know. We had to put down my cat yesterday, Criswell, and hopefully...
Oh, no.
Yeah, hopefully you won't be put down. Wouldn't it be funny if humans get put down like I, for some reason, have authority to put you down because you're a co-host?
Because it was too expensive to fix
my foot.
No,
you're co-host.
Like when a horse breaks its leg and they have to shoot it?
Yeah, exactly. Do you see how good Emma is?
Emma, you're great.
Yeah, that's why... I don't know how.
I'm feeling a bit replaceable.
Don't worry. I'm not coming for your job. It's okay.
No. She's not coming for your job. But it just may. You know, who knows what'll happen. But
Emma, play it like a government employee and just don't work too hard.
Phone it in a little bit.
Oh my God. Well, Steve is phoning it in literally today.
Steve is quite literally on the phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Stevie, let's talk about a couple of issues. Let's pretend like you're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have anything to promo, by the way, before we forget? You have anything to promo, Stevie?
Do I have? I'm going to be at the Ice House on May 25th, main room, 10 p.m., Ice House in Pasadena.
Ice House in Pasadena. Good club. In the main room?
Main room.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
10 p.m.
Hey.
And then the Los Angeles Stand-Up Comedy Festival, 22nd and 23rd of June.
Where is that?
Barnstall Park.
Oh, you're going to be outdoors?
I love that park. That is one of my favorite places in L.A.
Is that in Griffith Park?
Well,
it's in East Hollywood.
You can be totally my guest there.
You go up a little hill. There's a Frank Lloyd Wright house there that's a museum. Oh. And there's a great view of all of L.A.
Oh, now is that right off of Hollywood Boulevard?
Yes, it is. It's right before Vermont Street.
I saw a Shakespeare play there, and that's not to brag. And no, I mean, I have a certain type of lifestyle and sensitivity.
You're cultured, we know.
Yes. I have a bit of an acumen toward the higher... Finer things.
Eddie, I would like to see you actually perform Shakespeare in Barnstall Park.
Well, I could play characters like Falstaff. I don't know if you know who Falstaff is, but he's like kind of a rotund jester in some play, I forget which plays. I actually, when I watch Shakespeare and I listen to it and I read it, I have no idea what I would say 3/4 of what they're saying, but it is an educational experience. Like I have to like study it, you know?
Do you find you understand it better when you watch other people perform it than when you try to read it?
I'll tell you this, and that's a good question, and you definitely are in line for Steve's job. not Steve Jobs, who passed away and gave us the Apple Watch, but Steve, Steve's job.
Thank you, Eddie. We get it.
No, I'm Steve Jobs. It's okay.
Emma, yes, but I got to tell you this, that they have to be good at it, and like the Royal Shakespeare Company is amazing. I saw them in New York, and by the way, I don't want this to sound pretentious to our lowbrow audience.
Too late,
asshole. But they have to do it really. They have to be really good at it.
Yeah.
One thing I know is that the American theater companies I've seen do Shakespeare, they cannot hold a candle to the Brits who grow up with it, and it's in their fucking blood.
Yeah.
You right. know?
Especially those Shakespearean trained actors. They just blow right. everybody away.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
They are just unbelievable.
I always found when I read it in school, I always had a hard time understanding it, and I needed the version with like the translation on the side. But then if I watch somebody perform it, it makes so much more sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I always Shakespeare always irritated me. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah,
it's
why?
Because I think I can't understand what the fuck they're talking about, and
right.
and I always and also and that's only part of it though. The other reason is pretentious people, you know, lifting it up as you know something that's more sophisticated than I would understand, you know, which is probably true. But
yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the British accent, especially when it's done, even though Shakespeare, though, was a man of the people, though, he was completely a man of the people. The groundlings used to go see Shakespeare, which is groundlings meaning really poor people. And, you know, he had a lot of stuff that was geared toward the lower classes. And then he had just incredible poetry, you know. It's a lot like one of my sets, my stand-up sets. Like, it's a lot, you know, there's a...
One day, people will quote Pepitone in the park. And
Pepitone in the park has a good
ring
to
it. Why don't you just do Kevin Hart? We understand that.
That would be funny. Pepitone, you know, in the park. Like, instead of Shakespeare in the park in New York City, it's like Pepitone in the park. Right?
Yeah, that's just a guy screaming at people in Central Park.
Pepitone in the Park has a great ring to it, though.
You should
trademark that.
I should what?
You should trademark that.
Pepitone in the Park. Right?
That's one of our sketches.
Steve, did you know that the United States has spent $6 trillion on wars that have killed 500,000 people since 9/11, and I think that number is even low, is what I'm hearing from.
What I heard is $30,000 an hour. That's what we've been spending on war since 9/11.
$30,000 an hour.
That's more than a lot of people even make in a year.
Well, that's amazing that you say that, Emma. And again, you definitely are in line for Steve's job, not Steve Jobs.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, and we can't. So $30,000 an hour is what you heard, Steve, for these wars.
Yeah,
and we can't pay teachers, right? We can't pay teachers a fucking thing. People go without health care in this country, including veterans, right?
Have to fight to raise the minimum wage. By the way,
say again.
Yeah, you have to fight tooth and nail just to raise
the minimum
wage.
It's a fight to raise the minimum wage.
Right, and Bernie Sanders is called a lunatic for wanting to give. I remember for wanting to give people free health care. You know, I remember talking to this guy who I thought was a pretty cool dude. You know, I had known him for a while, and I mentioned, you know, oh, I'm definitely voting for Sanders, and he just started laughing, going, "Oh yeah, we're gonna have free health care, right? Who's gonna pay for that?" But people have no problem for paying for these wars, except I think they do have
a problem.
I think they do have a problem now, right? I think people are coming around. People are just like, this is enough of this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not to rain on your parade, the Yankees just scored 2 runs in the. I'm just fucking around. I just had to throw a monkey wrench in there. It's fucking disgusting, and it's just because it's been going on for so long. That's my hypothesis as to why people go along with it, because it's been going on for so long, it's been normalized.
Yeah,
all of the, like, you know, and so, but the idea when you tell people FDR, like, my mother will say things like, "No, America will never vote for a socialist." I hear people say stuff like that. And then you have to remind them that we had to change the rules to keep people from voting for FDR. They kept voting for him. They wouldn't stop putting him in. You know, I think we vote, what did he serve, 4 terms?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, what's really sad, though, is that people have fallen for the opposite of Sanders, which is Trump, you know, right? Do you think, but do you think they will vote for, you know, Sanders this time around?
If the Democratic Party doesn't fuck Sanders,
right?
If they don't.
Well,
if they.
I mean,
if he somehow squeaks through,
yeah.
Because we know you and I, he's the more popular candidate. But if they keep him from being the candidate, Trump will win again. But my theory is they want to just. They would rather lose with Biden than win with Sanders.
I feel like they need to put somebody in there who's a little bit. We keep putting all these people in who are so far extremely left or right. Why don't we find someone who's like kind of in the middle to like. You know, bridge this gap. We can't. Oh, we're like flip flopping.
Steve, your job isn't in jeopardy.
Well, that's what people keep doing with Clinton and fucking Biden. They say they're in the middle, but they're really
right, they're not. Right.
They're like Richard Nixon. If you look at their policies, and they're not really the center. Obama was supposedly the compromiser. He was the center, and he was like.
Yeah.
If you look at what Obama did, it was all really right-wing shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so disturbing. I don't know what to say. I think Sanders though is a hopeful sign that the country knows they're fucked, that they could he keeps filling stadiums of people.
Here's the thing though, the country knew it was fucked. When they put in Trump and what they were, you know, they were like, it was a big fuck you to the establishment by putting in Trump, right? We've talked about this shit. It was like, here, yeah, we fucking hate you. And Trump, the one thing Trump knows how to do, and this is hilarious to me that the average, you know, Joe falls for, is Trump makes fun of the quote unquote elites with, you know, and it's, you know, he does that. He's like, fake news.
He plays them like a banjo, man.
Yeah, he does.
He's playing them like a banjo. I will give him that.
Yeah. The man of the people who fucking cut, you know, just passed a tax bill that will completely destroy people's lives next year. You know, there's going to be less. Here's the thing. They're gearing up for a war in Iran now, these lunatics. That's another thing people vote in for. You know, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, you know, all the neocons who surround Trump. These
right, but Rachel Maddow's on MSNBC cheering on John Bolton, saying,
"Is she?
You're not conservative enough in Venezuela." So there's like no left in
right. Venezuela's
there's
another...
no left.
Right,
it's another thing, but there's like no left. I always thought there was. I always thought these people like Maddow and I'm totally guilty of it. These people like Bill Maher and Rachel Maddow. I thought they really were more like me.
Right.
And,
well, they are compared to Fox News, but what kind of barometer is that? You know.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're comparing Hitler to Himmler.
Right. Now,
you know,
now I mean, what about Maher? What about Bill Maher? I like to trash him too. I think from watching him. Yeah.
With a critical eye.
Yeah.
He does not like to have people left of him on his show. He likes to be the farthest left guy on his show.
Which
that's,
isn't that
that's
far
part of
left.
His trick.
Yeah, yeah, which isn't that far left. He I remember when Hillary lost that he was scolding he was scolding people who didn't vote for her, saying, "Oh, you pure, you know, this purity thing." What a fucking joke. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was Rick Overton who said rich liberals who are comfortable are fine with, you know, they're fine with people like Obama and Clinton because what's important to them is not important to us. Like the idea that people are going to be broke and the food's going to be poisoned. Well, it's not going to affect Omar. You know?
Well, the idea that already over 50% of the population, and Emma, this is to your point about why don't we don't get somebody in the middle, is that already over 50% of Americans are in dire poverty and their lives are horrific. And, you know, that we just don't hear about a lot of that, or we're taught that those people don't matter. So someone, Emma, in the middle is not going to do anything for those people. They're just going to keep placating the fucking...
No, I get that. I think by middle, I mean more like... I get frustrated with the whole, he's a Democrat, he's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a Republican. Uh-huh. Like, the two parties, like, that's it. You can only be one or the other, and therefore you subscribe to... all of these ideals that all Republicans subscribe to, or you're a Democrat and therefore you subscribe to all of these ideals that are only mm-hmm. Democrat. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, it can kind of, you can be more flexible than that. And that might be helpful.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Well, Steve? other countries have more than two parties.
Right. 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 We need a viable, at least three party, you know, and way to the left. And, well, you know, shouldn't even call it left because people just, they can't deal, you know, labeling it to the left. What I mean is, how about this? Instead of two parties for corporate wealth, how about one party for the average person? How about that? You know, call it the average person party.
Because average people don't aspire to power like that. 49%.
49% of registered voters are independent. So it was.
Wow.
It was 3 years ago. It was 46%. Now it's 49. Mm-hmm. In the last 3 years, so each year it goes up 1%, and that number dwarfs the Democrat and Republican numbers. So it kind of is. It's the only thing that's holding it together is the illusion. So the illusion that it's all blue team, red team. It's sort of kind of like the Matrix, man. Like,
well, you know,
we're not supposed to be represented in the media the way we think. That's
right.
But we're the majority and we have the power. And that's very hard to get through to people who are afraid and cowardly. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of my friends.
Right, which is why people should hit the donate button for us.
Yes.
At peptalkspodcast.com. We've had one donation so far. I got very excited. Matt put up that donate button, and we had immediately a $25 donation. And after that, it is tapered off.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, do you have the ads in front of you?
Me?
Yeah.
I can pull them up. You want me to read one?
Yeah. I'll read the first one. Folks, this first ad is the Apple Watch. And the Apple Watch, by the way, is possibly the greatest single achievement of mankind. It is a wearable gateway to the Internet of Things, allowing you to easily access all of the nonsensical garbage available on the same iPhone that you were probably holding in your other hand. Everyone said Apple could not improve on the design of a watch that has to be recharged every 6 hours, but they were wrong. Introducing the next generation of Apple Watch, a technology so sophisticated, it has to be updated every 20 minutes. The look and feel of the new design are so similar to the previous Apple Watch. The only sure way to tell that you own the newest version is the receipt, which is laser etched onto a solid titanium block and arrives at your home in a handcrafted box made of both rare albino zebra wood and rare albino zebras. The new iOS interface has been streamlined for the Apple Watch's three main features: low battery, charging, and firmware update needed. Be the envy of everyone at the Genius Bar with the new Apple Watch. Apple. Think downloading update, low power, shutting down. You know, I never, so that was, these ads are written by Matt Rossimoto, our producer, or Rossimoto. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. Rossimoto. Anyway, you know, these companies that advertise with us have not paid us at all. Do you want to read the next one? Steve,
yes,
Alabama.
I do.
The Alabama Tourism Board. Go ahead, Steve.
Hold on. My fucking computer is slow.
Oh, well, we can't have that. Sorry. If you don't have it in front of you, I will read it. By the way, this is unbelievable. What do you think of it, Emma? I mean, you know, now this fascism that's running through our country, Alabama?
Oh, the abortion law?
Yeah. What have they done? Have they outlawed?
They outlawed abortions from the moment of conception. It's considered a child.
Is that in law now?
Yeah, in Alabama it is.
Well, fuck Alabama then. Folks, don't go to Alabama.
Yeah, no,
don't spend any
up.
Money in Alabama.
It's the same state that ran that Roy Moore, you know, so what's
right.
the big surprise?
I mean, not that I'm surprised at all places that Alabama put that in place, but the fact that that could get passed anywhere blows my mind.
You know, you really shouldn't fuck with women because women, man, you unite women like that. You know, maybe the silver lining of all this right-wing shit is that there will be a huge backlash of socialism. But do you have that in front of you now, Steve, or do I need to read it?
Yes, the Alabama Tourism Board.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know. For some reason, it's
Alabama Tourism. So this is an advertisement, and they are Alabama Tourism Board is advertising with us. And here we go. Alabama Tourism Board would like to invite you to the illustrious Yellowhammer State, known for both starting with the letter A and being located next to Georgia. In fact, some of you might think of Alabama as a cheaper alternative to Georgia, or like Georgia's little brother with special needs, or like if Georgia was Netflix, Alabama would be Redbox. You get the idea. You get the idea. Alabama might not be your first choice for a vacation, but it's probably on the list of vacation spots. Like if someone put a gun to your head and asked you to name all the places you could think of. Coincidentally, Alabama is one of the few states where you can get a gun from a red box. Also, that same red box offers high school diplomas, 40-ounce bottles of 5-Hour Energy, Vicodin, M&M's, and VHS copies of Turner and Hooch. You know, Alabama is getting a lot of heat for banning abortion, but when you're a state that is last in education and circling the toilet bowl with healthcare, economy, and jobs, well, it just feels good to be first in something. So when you are planning a trip, think of Alabama as the Yellowhammer State because of all the nature and wildlife, and because the other two slogans for Alabama are very, very racist.
Ah.
Well, you know, I know a couple of cool people in Alabama, but you know, and like you know, obviously there are a lot of cool people, but there's this right wing shit, and you don't do that to people. You just don't ban abortion. You know, they're going.
So
idiots are going too far. You know.
So I have the third ad up. If you want me to read it, I'll read it.
Why don't you read and say who it's from and, you know.
Okay, this is the Timex Fartometer. The mission of the Death Arena Fighting Robots Project is to promote the welfare and adoption of Death Arena robots by providing support and information to adoption organizations, adopters, and the public. Hopefully, you'll join the thousands of people who've discovered that their adopted mechanized friend is one of the nicest and most affectionate Death Arena robots they've ever had. Wayne Pustool of Gorgon, Indiana says, "When my wife brought home Slaughterbot 9000, I was apprehensive. I heard the horror stories of other death robot adoption agencies and wasn't looking forward to a costly and time-consuming ordeal, but DeFarp really helped us bring a 9-foot-tall mechanical murder machine into our family. Dumont Flap Tag of Abhorrent, Iowa tells us, my kids love Kilgore 5, that six-ton dervish of red-hot blades immediately acclimated to our family. It's true what they say, the death arena life takes a toll. When Kilgore 5 came into our house, it just plopped onto the couch, screeched the word dominance, and passed right out. It was one of us from the start." To find out details about each one of our adoptable robots, visit www.DeathArenaFightingRobotsProject.org and begin your journey of love by adopting one of these menacing metal behemoths of rampaging destruction today.
Oh, yeah, that's nice because, you know, machines need homes too, folks. I mean, dogs get a lot of play, but machines need homes. Steve, I want to thank you for coming on. I have a vet calling in a minute. So rest your foot.
Thank you.
And, you know, I mean, the great generation would not have let, you know, a little toe thing, you know, slow them down. But you're not of that generation. No.
I'm a weaker link. I'm a watered down.
But hopefully
I'm a slightly slower death robot.
Hopefully you'll be good to go next week. All right, Stevie, thanks for calling in.
All right, Eddie. See you guys.
Bye. So, wow. I just want to say, you know, the Death Arena Fighting Robots Project. Machines need homes too, you know, and, you know, dogs are adopted all the time. Cats are adopted, horses even, but a lot of robots out there who are violent, trained killer robots, you know, if you take them in, you can, all they need is love and they stop being violent. I mean, they may, let's say, burn down your neighborhood or village, but they'll eventually be very, very loving. So those ads are written by Matt Rossimoto. And thank you, Matt. We still are waiting for those goddamn advertisers to pay us. Oh, we have another call. Hello, is this Yvette?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Yvette. So Yvette is here with us again. Yvette Lamont, who was here with us last week in person, is now here with us. And Yvette, I want to ask you, because I've been watching your Instagram stories, you seem like what's going on, it seems like you're a political prisoner of veganism. Like I feel like the videos are almost like you're being held in a cell, being forced to eat vegan. What's going on?
Thank you for noticing. That is how I feel. Well, you haven't seen the movie What Health, but it's a good movie, and as a vegan, you're sort of
Oh, we're losing you here. Emma, is there anything we could do with...
No, are you on an iPhone?
I am.
Are you on Wi-Fi?
Not that I know of. Do you want me to be on Wi-Fi?
If you can be on Wi-Fi, sometimes that helps the phone signal, yeah.
Okay, yes, I am on Wi-Fi.
Oh, that sounds okay now.
Okay, you sound good now.
So, what's going on? What the Health is the movie you saw?
Mm-hmm. So it's a documentary. It's really well done. And they really plug like a whole foods plant-based diet. And they show you all these people who had all kinds of gnarly health problems.
Right.
And they go on a vegan diet for like 2 weeks and they throw away all their medication and they're zipping around and they feel great. And like last week they couldn't even breathe. So I was like, how much better could I feel? So far, not at all.
Well, hold it. You didn't feel bad to begin with, did you? I mean, you seem pretty healthy.
No.
Right.
I was just like, how much better could I feel? Like if they who are like, you know, dripping with illness end up feeling so good, I expected to go from like good to great.
Right.
And then now I'm like really confused, right? Because there's all these, I have a lot of vegan friends and a bunch of them
including
are telling
me
like, oh.
Including me.
Including you, favorite vegan friend.
Thank you for putting me at the top of that list. But go ahead. So go ahead.
And a lot of people tell me that this is my body detoxing for meat. So I'm like, is that if that's they're like, you just have to push through it. So that's why I haven't quit yet.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to do 30 days and you're like day four. You're like doing Instagram, like you're videoing yourself going, hi, everybody. Well, I don't feel like killing myself as much today as I did yesterday.
Exactly.
You're not a good advertisement for veganism. You're not a good advertisement for veganism right now.
Honestly, this whole thing has just, so far, I'm pretty convinced that veganism is just a form of self-hate.
Right. You said that. And I was like, God damn it. I have to get her straightened out. Now look, I always tell everybody about veganism that for me, the reason I'm doing it is number one, and this has to be number one, I think, with anyone who wants to do, the vegan thing, the plant-based diet thing, is that it has to be done with compassion. The main thing is your compassion for our little brothers and sisters there in the animal kingdom. So that's the number one thing. And, you know, if you have that in the forefront, I think then it's possible, you know. And also another thing I read by these really cool brothers who wrote a book called Vodka is Vegan. They're really cool brothers. I forget their names right now. But you don't have to do it all at once. Like you're going, like, you know, eat less meat. You know what I mean? Like have fucking some meat. You know, like I think any change that we make, doesn't it have to be a little gradual? You know, like you're doing this whole, like for me, you know.
Yeah, I should have done that for sure.
Yeah, you're doing that thing like just going cold turkey. Not to insult our brothers and sisters in the turkey community. But you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like just, you know, I mean, they're not as militantly, because one thing they say about vegans is they tell people who are vegan, look, don't be a pain in the fucking ass to people who aren't vegan, because nobody listens to people when you tell them shit. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I've went through that.
They have to come to want it.
Yeah, they have to want it, you know. But now when you watched What the Health, did they show a lot of the cruelty to animals?
They did. So
which had a big
influence. Motivating factor.
Right. Right.
You know, I would love to not give my money to those industries anymore, because I really believe in voting with dollars, and I don't want to contribute to their, you know, what they have going on at all. So that was a big motivating factor. I'm probably equal parts interested in health benefits and not being part of, you know, toxic meat, dairy industries. And to be honest, I'm not even missing or craving meat, but I don't really eat a lot of meat. For me, I ate a ton of cheese.
Oh, yes.
In hindsight, that's like where I've been getting my protein.
Now dairy is supposed to be nasty though for you, but apparently you didn't feel that at all.
I've never noticed having anything. And like last year when I was really sick, I got an allergy panel done, and they were like, you're allergic to food.
You're allergic to food across the board.
It was really bad. You know, I came up with responses to strawberries, potatoes, spinach, onions, garlic, like every food you can think of, but not dairy.
Is that right?
So that's weird.
Now, did you now you had an allergy panel done, right? But did you then discuss that? Because to me, there's a lot of questions to be answered about that. You know what I mean? Like, did you discuss Did you discuss it with a doctor after that, or someone who knows what the fuck they're doing?
So first I get this piece of paper in the mail that's like, you can't eat anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Did they say you couldn't eat spinach and strawberries?
Well, no, that's like what I got from this piece of paper that was like, you know, of all these 98 things, you can eat four of them.
That's insane.
But then I saw my doctor.
Yeah.
And she was like, what do you notice a reaction to? And I'm like, gluten for sure, which is interesting because I only have like a level one allergy to gluten, but I have got like a level three allergy to strawberries. Like, what the hell's going on here? And she's like, just don't eat whatever you notice. And, like, otherwise you're fine. Don't worry about this.
Well,
list.
That's
like,
weird. So don't eat what... Don't
what's the
eat
point of even giving you the list if they're going to tell you to ignore it?
I know. That's what I said. I'm like, great, what if we...
Yes,
like,
now that's...
my third
that's
day a... here. What are we doing?
Right. Here's a list of things that, really, we're just kind of... We just like to do allergy panels, and it keeps people employed. Oh my god!
Yeah, just stress me out.
Yeah.
I was crushed when I got that list without any context. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. So, what do you notice? So, right now, you're noticing not feeling good from
okay. I'm much
out
better
cheese.
Today because I finally got a protein powder.
Yes. You see, my wife always talks about that. You have to use fucking things like that, like supplements. You also have to take, on a vegan diet, B12 every day.
Mm-hmm. I've been taking B12.
Good. Okay. And good. So you got a protein powder. What kind of protein powder? I suggested hemp. What'd you get?
It was a pea protein powder they have at Sprouts. And it was just the only vegan option that I saw at Sprouts.
Okay.
It's actually made by Sprouts, so maybe that's why they don't have a hemp one.
Okay, so
and
you can get hemp
that,
online.
I had that for breakfast. Oh, my God. It made me feel so much better. Like, today, I finally feel like a person.
Wow. Okay, excellent. So, you found, like, a protein substitute. So maybe, you know, that'll... You know, that'll, well, this will be interesting. You know, you should call in again and we'll see your
progress. Keep you updated.
We'll keep your progress. Now, another thing I want to talk about is that are you starting, talk to the audience a little bit about starting a podcast. Are you starting one? Are you going to
So we did our first one last Friday and we haven't uploaded it yet because we just decided on a name. Like late last night.
What was it? What is the name?
Some dickhead. I'll tell you later, but okay. I don't want someone to like go and book the Instagram account.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So
we still have to do that.
But it's basically about what? What is the podcast about?
So it's me and a lady friend of mine who are both very sort of unapologetically opinionated, and obsessed with self-care and wellness. She's a trainer, an excellent trainer. Oh my God, she'll kick your ass at the gym. I'm more like the yogi, meditating,
Sounds like a good combination.
Yeah, we definitely have, I think, really funny and interesting conversations. We recorded our first one.
You said, is it all health-based podcast or no?
So it's a lot about health and wellness. It's very, like, tongue-in-cheek. And, I don't think it's going to sound like any other health or wellness podcast in the world, you know?
Yeah.
We've got our flavors of personality in there, and they're a little bit, you know, eccentric, unique, esoteric. I think the first one we're going to call Neil Brennan, You've Been Masturbated To.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Now
it
see
makes
Neil.
More sense when you listen to it.
I see Neil a lot, you know, at the Comedy Store. And, you know, all right. Well, that's intense. That's funny. Neil Brennan.
Thank you. That's what we're going for. Because Neil came up in the first one, and that line is in the first episode. And I happen to be in his direct message box on Instagram, so I will be sending him the podcast.
Oh, I think he'll listen.
I do too.
Maybe you can promote it. Maybe Neil
says anything.
Yeah, maybe he could promote it because Neil has a pretty big following, you know.
We have good and bad things to say about him. I mean, he was my celebrity crush last year. Was that last year? That's where the story begins.
Oh my God. He's a good comedian. He's very funny, very smart, really good writer, and vegan. Very Did you clever, know that? Yeah. He's vegan. Neil Shut is up. Vegan. Yes, he is vegan.
I did not know that.
Well, because he doesn't talk about it a lot on stage, but he has one joke where he goes, you know, when I go to the Midwest, you know, I don't say, he goes, I just say, when I want to find a vegan spot, you know, in a real rural area, I just go, hey, where do the faggots eat?
That's awesome. And I'm surprised that he has the backbone to do that joke. That's really funny, though.
Yeah. It's very funny.
That takes courage, though. I don't know, in today's politically correct climate.
Yeah.
See, that's actually really dreamy that you say that about Neil. Now I might have a crush on him again just because he dares to do that joke.
Yeah, he hasn't done it in a while, but yes, I saw him do that. He's just smart. Neil's smart and funny. All right, so you'll tell me what the name of your podcast is, and then once you get it Instagramized, we could tell the world. And so it's two opinionated ladies talking about health, wellness, and just other stuff.
And we talked about making a podcast for like how to survive the dating apocalypse. So we want to talk about dating.
The dating and apocalypse. Self-care. Dating and self-care. Mm-hmm. Which are two diametrically. What?
In this horrible like dating climate, you know, and like how to stay sane, even though. I don't know. Culture is just like morally bankrupt.
Yes.
And it's impossible to find a human you want to partner with.
Yeah. Well, you know what dating climate scientists are saying? They're saying that the dating warming is really, really, really going faster than we thought. Or dating cooling, maybe. But yeah, we live. Yeah. Well, me and you have talked about this. We live in a morally bankrupt time, and you know it's right now the human, you know, I don't know, I don't know if I'm just reading too many authors who are bleak.
It's probably part of it,
but yeah, but I just feel like we are at kind of a make or break point, you know. I mean, for real. You know, I think that, and I guess, you know, the good thing about that is that we have to find our collective higher nature. You know, we have to find our collective higher good or well-being. You know, we have to really transcend this primal, this primal narcissism. You know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, culture is very selfish, which is to be, you know, separated from self-absorbed, because selfish means I want this and I don't want you to have it, right? If people were just more self-absorbed, but they took that energy to focus on being the best them they could be, like, I wouldn't see a problem with that. But we have this really greedy, selfish value system in the West.
Yeah,
that is just, maybe it's good for shareholders this year, but you know, I don't think it's good for the climate and the health of the entire planet.
It's become really apparent to people who pay attention that we are part of something called the sixth extinction. By the way, that would be a funny name for your podcast. The sixth extinction. How to date during the sixth extinction. How to date.
Maybe
during...
I'll put that as like a tagline or something. That's super funny.
How to date during the sixth extinction. It's funny. Well,
yeah, I like that. That's funny.
Yvette Lamont, thank you so much for calling in. We look forward to hearing about the podcast, and also, you know, I'm really glad that you found the protein powder, because those Instagram videos could have gotten really
you know, they could have gotten really like hairy. Like it could have been like, hi, like you know, like you're withering away, like you're being kept in a cell, you know. But
yeah, no, I feel much better. Every vegan needs protein powder. Right. I was going to ask, have you ever kept track of your protein intake?
No. I just like, kind of like your allergy person said to you, mm-hmm. if you notice not feeling well, you know, do something mm-hmm. about it. But, I haven't. I mean, I try to eat protein. I eat a lot of tofu. I eat a lot of beans. I eat a lot of nuts. You know, there's protein in different vegetables.
Don't even talk to me about protein and vegetables. Everyone's like, there's so much protein in spinach. Spinach, one cup of spinach has 5 grams of protein. A cup of chicken has 43. Like, there is not that much protein in spinach. And, like, a tiny person like me needs at least 40 grams a day.
Well, again, that could be supplemented. Right, I hear you. But that could be supplemented with your protein powder, right? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I guess mm-hmm. this is my issue with it, is that I went from a whole foods diet to one that's much more processed, because it's plant-based, and I'm not convinced that that's the answer, but I'm going to keep pushing through it, and I finally feel better now that I have my protein powder, and maybe in a month I'll become like some advocate for veganism and shock everyone who's been watching me on Instagram.
Right, I know. That would be shock.
Highly,
like, that's
open to it.
It would be like a twist ending, like in an Agatha Christie novel.
My fingers are crossed.
All right, well, we'll talk to you next week then, too, on the air, okay?
All right, awesome. Have a good rest of your day. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Yvette Lamont. And Emma, what do you think? Have you tried veganism?
No, it's funny. I was just in New York this past weekend with a bunch of people from ATC. They were all on a shoot, and I went in for the weekend part, the fun part, the just hanging out in New York part.
Right.
And we spent the day Sunday with this couple, my boyfriend and I did, who are both vegan, and they took us to these vegan restaurants they wanted to try, and I had a blast, and the food was so good.
Ooh, yeah.
And I felt great.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
We were my boyfriend and I were talking about it, and we were thinking we might try going vegan just like for a week or two and see how we feel, and just like see how, well, if it's something that we could, like, you know, wiggle into our lifestyles.
Well, I hope that discussion between me and Yvette helped you a little bit.
Yeah, I was interested when you said that all vegans have to take B12. Yes. Are there other supplements that you recommend for people if you're going to try a vegan diet to, like, make sure you don't, you know, lose your energy and stuff?
Yeah. Well, B12 is the big one, you know, a B complex.
Yeah. That's a big one for women in general, actually. They say any women who are on any type of hormonal birth control are vitamin B deficient.
Okay, yeah. And then the other stuff, my wife would know better than me. It's so funny. She just gives me all these vitamins every day, and I have no idea.
So she just hands you a fistful of pills, and you take them?
She could be killing me.
She's slowly poisoning
you. Yeah.
Did you transition slowly when you decided to go vegan?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I did a little bit, yeah. And I would have, quote unquote, slips, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That now that I look back at it, I was just kind of transitioning, you know?
Right. That's what I've heard. You shouldn't do it. Like, you shouldn't jump from one to the other. You should take your time. Like, a lot of people say they go pescatarian first.
Right. You know, it just makes sense, right? And,
yeah.
And maybe watch a movie like What the Health, and because really... Really, and the restaurants are getting so much better. The food is getting so
that's
much better.
That's what I was thinking about this weekend, like being in New York and seeing all these restaurants and such, is that, like, there are so many, it's so much easier now to be a vegan than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, I used to have friends in college that were vegan, and they basically brought their food with them everywhere they went because it wasn't really an option. But now, especially in cities,
it's
very doable. Have you ever seen the documentary Earthlings?
No.
My boyfriend just watched it. I haven't watched it yet, but he said it's part of why he was like, I think I want to be a vegan.
Oh.
Apparently, it's about, like, the mass production of food and stuff.
Yes.
And it will. He was like, if you want to try this for a few weeks, just watch this. It will be the motivation you need.
Right. There's a lot of reasons to be vegan, and you know, and more people are doing it. And you have to do it in the right way so you don't...
Yeah, that's what scares me. I've had friends who try it and they don't do it the right way.
They don't do it the right way.
Their hair starts to fall out and like weird things happen and they get really weak.
Well, you have to do it smart. You have to know what you're doing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're cutting out all these proteins and stuff out of your diet. You have to replace them somehow. You can't just remove them.
Exactly. All right. Well, Emma, thank you so much for pitching in here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. And hey, gang, do you love the Pep Talks podcast? Of course you do. And here at Pep Talks, we want you to know that we think you are a 5-star audience, even though I insult you constantly. The best in the biz, and nobody listens to the Pep Talks podcast better than you at home. Like button, subscribe. Now, maybe you should return the favor and write us a review on iTunes or subscribe on YouTube and Spotify. Press a like button whenever you see one. The buttons are there to be pressed. Let the buttons fulfill their destinies. I knew a like button once. This was years ago, back when AOL was a thing. Me and this old like button would hang out. He introduced me to my first wife. Well, AOL didn't end up so good, and good old like button was taken down with it. Like button started drinking. It spent all of its 401k at the docks playing craps, buying time with loose women. But them whores don't ever really like anything because they were used up and dead inside. You could push like all day, but there was nothing to be like out to. The link was gone. Don't let these little like buttons live out the same fate. They are just kids. They got their whole future in front of them. Just give them a little push. So if you want to call us, we didn't play any messages today. We'll do that next week. And if you want to leave a message for the podcast, please do. We only had one call last week. A little depressing. Give us a call, leave us a message at 424-262-0904. If you want to leave a message for the podcast, we'll play it on the air and we'll talk about it. 424-262-0904. Email us at fanmail@peptalkspodcast.com. Visit peptalkspodcast.com, and our engineers are Emma Erdbrink, who is here today being a co-host, and Aaron Brungart, and our producer is Matt Rossomoto. And everybody, we will see you next time on Pep Talks, everybody. Bye-bye.